Well, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I said we should have gotten, what is it, 12, is it 12 Lords Leaping or is it 12 Pipers Piping? It's Lords of Leaping. See, we should have had Lords Leaping down for the opening hymn. There we go. So on this last day of Christmas, it's not often we get two Sundays in Christmas. We get John's introduction to this person, Jesus. A little different, I would say, just a tad different than Matthew and Luke, that kind of is a little more familiar, I would say, to us, or kind of more the traditional views, the manger, the Christmas scene we've all grown up with, because we like that scene. John is a little less genteel, right? We prefer the baby in the manger, kind of so sweet, so small, so comfortable. And then we get John. Doesn't seem as Christmassy, but it shows the reality of who Jesus is beyond just the sweet baby image in the manger. Now, those of you who know me know that I do tend to like movies, and Talladega Nights, if you've seen it, I wouldn't see it again. It's not a movie I would necessarily recommend, but there is one scene that I just think is absolutely hysterical, and they're at dinner, and Will Ferrell, who plays Ricky Bobby, has this prayer, and he always starts off, "Dear baby Jesus," as he's saying grace, and his wife interrupts him, and she's like, "You know, sweetie, Jesus did grow up. You don't always have to call him a baby." She's like, "It's a bit odd and a bit off-putting to constantly pray to a baby." To which Ricky Bobby's response is, "Well, look, I like the Christmas Jesus. When I'm saying grace to the Christmas Jesus. When you say grace, you can say it to the grown-up Jesus, to the teenage Jesus, the bearded Jesus, or whoever you want." Now, we find it humorous, but I think it actually is quite telling, because I think most of us prefer the baby Jesus, because we can keep him small and unassuming then. A baby doesn't challenge our lifestyle. A baby doesn't confront our beliefs. A baby can be contained. It isn't a threat to our desires, our wants, or how we've decided we want to live. As one commentator points out, the truth is we like Jesus in the manger because he can't say anything yet. We can project onto him anything we want. Maybe that's why in the tradition of the church we do such a rapid fast forward to Epiphany and soon to the baptism of Jesus and the launch of a very public ministry that we consider in the weeks between Epiphany and the start of Lent. Maybe the church has long recognized that wonderful though the incarnation is, the real truth of Jesus comes when he opens his mouth to teach and preach. When he sets himself down at the table of the tax collector and the prostitutes. When he tells us to love everyone and to forgive even our most ardent enemies. See, Jesus is eternal. Jesus is the one who existed before time itself. He's the one with power to expose the dark recesses of our thoughts and actions. And he isn't really so sweet and innocent when he grows up. He isn't someone we can control, but one who demands our own submission to him. See, I remember being told once, you know, you ask, what would Jesus do? Just remember that overturning tables and chasing people with whips is not beyond the realm of possibilities. See, Christmas is a time when we greet anew the very presence of God, our Creator, into a flesh and blood human. Jesus, fully divine and fully human. But what does that mean for us in 2020? Because what we do with Jesus does really determine our future. So we have to remember, Jesus is not a good luck charm. He's not some talisman that is going to bring us ease and comfort in this life, kind of fire insurance to get us into heaven. And he isn't just a role model that we're meant to emulate. Jesus is God embodied in human form, providing us that which we are incapable of providing for ourselves. There's a wonderful story last month, maybe you saw it on CBS News, of the five-year-old that brought his entire kindergarten class to his adoption hearing. It's really cute. Michael Orlando Clark Jr. is from Michigan. He was officially adopted in December, and on that day, all of his friends showed up at the Kent Cordy Courthouse to celebrate with him. And the Kent County's Facebook page, it shared a photo from Clark's hearing, and it shows the boy, his parents, and his classmates all sitting behind him holding up little heart signs. And the caption reads, "Michael brought his entire kindergarten class with him today to witness his adoption." And after joining the judge and his parents behind the judge's desk, they slammed the gavel and made it official. He now has his forever family. And Clark could not contain his excitement as he was interviewed by a local newspaper or a television station. He went, "I love my daddy," he told the WZZM. "I love my daddy so much." And the report that each of the classmates actually went and introduced themselves to the judge, and many expressed their love for Clark. But his teacher said this. He says, we began the school year as a family. Family doesn't have to be DNA, because family is love and support. See, when someone's adopted, they have the ability to either accept or reject it. Clark didn't go and find these people and said, "Hey, you need to adopt me." These two people saw this child, said, "I want that child to be part of my family." They chose him. Because you can't force someone to adopt you. And I think this is what's stressed by John in our verses this morning. Jesus came not to make us feel good about ourselves, not to be a mere moral or spiritual guide. What he did was he came to enable us to be adopted as sons and daughters of God himself through faith in Jesus. So will we accept him as he reveals himself? Will we allow him to recreate us into his image rather than trying to make him into our own? Will we believe in his name? Jesus, God who saves. Emmanuel, God who is with us. Or will we ignore or reject him, believing that we're okay living however we desire? Will we tap into the power of the Holy Spirit given to us when we accept our adoption, or do we try to exist in our own power? Well, there was a comic once of Buddha and Jesus sitting together on a cloud, and Buddha says to Jesus, and he says, "You know, I should have made one of those nobody can depict me rules, because they always make me fat." And Jesus says, "You know, tell me about it." He goes, "I've been a white, blonde dude for the last 1,000 years. How often do we try to recreate God to what we want him to be? And how often do we reject the truth of Jesus because it doesn't quite suit our plans or what we think he should be like or what he should be doing? N.T. Wright explains, he goes, "The central problem which dominates the whole gospel story, Jesus comes to God's people, and God's people do what the rest of the world do. They prefer darkness to light. That is why fresh grace is needed on top of the grace already given." So as we move from Christmas to Epiphany, may we be willing to accept Jesus, not as one we can control, but one we are willing to give up control to. May we allow his light to shine into our lives so that the darkest areas of our lives will be revealed and defeated. And may we ultimately live into our adopted nature and receive the grace he so desires to give us. May we see Jesus not just as that baby in a manger, but as the Word made flesh, full of grace and truth, and still abiding with us today. Amen.